Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Hey there, fellow law entrepreneurs. Welcome to episode 374 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyra, your host once again. And today my guest is my good friend, Seth Price. Seth was on the program, almost 3 years ago on episode 229 back at the end of August of 2020. And I've asked him to come back on the program because he has a ton of information to share with us, some really valuable stuff based on his experience as the founder of a very successful law firm here in the Washington, D.C. area, Price Benowitz, as well as a company you may be familiar with, Blue Shark Digital Marketing, which he heads. And I've asked Seth to come back on the program to talk about a subject that I'm woefully ignorant on. And I admit freely, I've kind of slept on this whole issue aside from having a brief discussion about it with Jordan Azaroff a few weeks ago. I have not really paid attention to what's going on in the world of artificial intelligence in the legal space. And Seth is right on top of this, as you might expect the owner of a digital marketing firm to be. And so he's going to give us the lowdown on ChatGPT and where he thinks AI-based platforms and services in the legal space are going and what the impact is going to be. So you may have heard of this, you know, in other sectors and other areas, but for right now, let's listen to a real expert, Seth Price. Seth Price, welcome back to The Law Entrepreneur.
So excited to be here. Love our chats, and the fact that we get to do this and have an audience listening is even better.
Well, I'm always thrilled to have a recognized expert of the legal field on the podcast, as you know, you clearly are, and the fact that you're in my own backyard, which makes everything a little more personable to me. But I know you, and I know your backstory, but tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
Sure. So I, about 20 years ago, was sitting down with my buddy from college and law school, Dave Benowitz, and he really wanted to practice law. And I kind of didn't. I wanted to start a business. And so we decided in his basement to divide and conquer, where he would do the lawyering and I would do the marketing and operations and management. And so from day one, we created a firm, which is Price Benowitz, that is sort of run with me as the business backbone and him as the lawyer, the chief legal officer. We've now scaled to over 40 lawyers doing PI, med mal, criminal, family, QTAM, a bunch of different areas. And about seven, almost 8 years back, we were sitting there saying, hey, this is great. We've built this firm primarily on digital marketing, but we keep losing our people. Internal staff turns over. And I wanted to have something that was a stable base of operation to build and expand digital marketing. So I spun our in-house digital team into Blue Shark Digital, which today represents between 250 and 300 law firms nationwide doing website build, SEO, PPC, and a bunch of other things. So that's how I came to be here and thrilled to be back on the show.
Yeah. So let me just, you know, I don't do this too often, but let me just blow a little smoke a little bit here. You know, there's a lot of firms, particularly around the Washington area, but I'm sure it's true all over the country and around the world, that scale up to that 40 or 50 person law firm, 40 or 50 lawyers in the firm with all the necessary support staff. And along the way, they kind of lose their soul. You know, they lose who they are and they kind of become just a corporate entity. I just can tell you from the people that I talk to, Seth, I don't think I've ever shared this with you before personally. So from the people I talk to and the people that I know who do business with your firm, nothing but great things to say about their experience with Price Benowitz. So, kudos to you for your partner for keeping that a focus in terms of your growth.
I appreciate it. It's two steps forward, one step back. It's the path not traveled, right? I've always loved what you have. You have a base of operations. You keep it tight. When you expand, there are risks and you make mistakes. And it's a question of, can you identify those quickly and undo them so that the brand itself, the lawyering that goes out there is great. We've been very blessed. Most of our, attorneys, many of them have been with us a decade or more, 12, 13, 14 years. And it's really given us a base of operation, which is awesome to build and grow on. Staffing is not for the faint of heart. And, we've had our ups and downs with COVID and then the greater nation and all these different pieces. But I feel like having that solid base of operation and group that has been together for so long has been a blessing. And I think it reflects in what we've been able to deliver to the public.
And on top of that, the nature of the workplace has fundamentally changed in large part, as you said, due to COVID and great resignation and all that. But I just think, where we're going society-wise and technology-wise, the workplace is, as I've said before, it's fundamentally changed and it's not going back. And your ability to engineer your law firm through those dynamics. And again, I think the most important part of it is to retain your cultural identity and still feel to the outside world as you have always done. I think that's really something to be proud of. And so I just wanted to acknowledge that.
No, I really appreciate it.
Not that you need my affirmation, but I think that's absolutely true.
And a lot's happened since we spoke last,
Well, yeah.
Much of our relationship was pre-COVID and live events and getting to see you and break bread for breakfast in downtown Bethesda. But, we've in the intervening time, forget about AI that we're going to talk about, for I'm sure much of our chat here, but, we went virtual during COVID. We're in a blue bubble here. People didn't show to the office for months or over a year. The government's still not back in DC federally. We had to figure out how to deal with the tumultuous local hiring scene and layered an international team to support the domestic team, as well as a virtual team now nationally, so that our hiring is not just in the DC DMV, but wherever we can find a great player around the country or around the world, primarily Latin America. And then, layer that on top of the fact that in the last months, we've seen the explosion of AI with, the arrival of ChatGPT really shaking up the legal landscape. And I think that, we're just at the very, very tip of this whole journey, that we have a long, long way to go, but that this is not, there are things that I see that like the metaverse, and while that may at some point take hold, that really has not seen quick adoption. I see the use of AI and in all these different pieces just exploding on a day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month basis.
Well, I want to get into that, and I want to do so by actually kind of circling back just a little bit to talk a little more about Blue Shark, because, you have bona fide credentials in the digital marketing workspace. Blue Shark is a leading, you don't need me to promote your company. It's one of the leading, one of the more foremost providers of digital marketing to the legal space. And so tell me a little bit about your role in developing that. I know it's spun off from the law firm itself, And then now how you are looking at emerging technologies such as AI to augment what you offer at Blue Shark.
Well, look, there's a lot of shiny objects out there. They're always there, right?
And I usually chase that.
And that's what I love about you. And the fact that there are, but at the end of the day, if you want to scale and you want to produce, you know, you want to get your revenue from 7 to 8 figures and beyond, the only way to do that, I believe, is through execution of fundamentals. Not that a shiny object can't become a fundamental, but figuring out what is replicable over time. And for the last, you know, several decades, with the emergence of web, the web and search, what I love about that world is that if a site is optimized, it can deliver results for people in need for your services over and over again, particularly in the B2C world, and particularly as Google has evolved its local search component, that the average player can build their own fiefdom regionally, even with bigger players in the market, and get their piece of real estate on the in the Google sphere and allow them to build and grow. And that those that is for me what Blue Shark has done, has delivered, and particularly with local search, repeated, you know, it is possible to get really amazing results with really solid ROI. And that's been my passion. Google's focused on organic, which is content, links, technical, and making sure a website's optimized so that the bot comes through the same way a person comes through, high quality content that shows you're authoritative, and then links coming in that demonstrate that you are authoritative and not some kid in their basement. All of that said, what Google has done over the last couple of years with its proximity update has made local search that much more important, and a multi-office layout for many people has been the solution, where before you could own the city from a single office. To scale a firm, really people have had to move to a multi-office layout. And this has all happened since we last spoke. But the importance, and we look, as you know, Bryce Benowitz has done that for years, but that happened to be a good bet and it worked well with Google. But right now, not to have a multi-office setup to perform with local search is kind of hamstring a firm, and where the old model might be all your people in one office with no satellite offices, the multi-office approach really makes a big difference in maximizing your return from local search.
Well, I'm going to make another confession here to you that you may not be aware of, but one of our earlier conversations that pre-pandemic addressed, you know, my passion for chasing some of these shiny objects and trying to employ some of those same digital marketing practices on a wider scale. And I clearly remember you saying, and I actually quoted you in a presentation I did before the Maryland Bar Association, which I technically got wrong, but you threw out a revenue figure that you felt that a law firm needed to have in order to really take advantage of digital marketing opportunities. And I said to you, well, I'm not at that point yet. And you responded, well, you'd be much better served by niching down more local, focusing on local search and focusing on a smaller geographical area. And I took that to heart. And I will tell you that, and I've said this on the podcast before, I don't know that I attributed it to you, but I was say that was the point that my practice finally started taking off in the way I wanted it to. So, I mean, there's truth in what you have to say there. So now we're on this verge, and I will admit, like, I've slowed my shiny object pursuit down considerably these last several years. And one of the things that I have to admit, I've slept on, I haven't really paid attention to, is the whole new emerging artificial intelligence component as it affects the legal space. I was briefly aware of the capabilities of ChatGPT when it just first started to emerge in the public social consciousness. But I have to admit, I think I've only played around with it for maybe 20 minutes. So
I have a snarky response, which is, yeah, of all the shiny objects to ignore, this is the one you decide to ignore.
I know, right? Right? Is it anyone?
That with love, because I'm a huge fan of yours. And the fact that you brought this community together the way you have, to me, this is the time to dust it off. This is not the metaverse, which may or may not be ready for prime time. This is not like a chat room that is, you know, particular high-level thought leaders. This is not a fire drill. This is it. This is
Educate me, because I'm woefully ignorant, and I'm going to bet my bottom dollar that there's hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of solo and small firm practitioners in the same boat. They just haven't turned their attention to it. So what should we be paying attention to, and why?
This is basically, we've seen AI, and you know, it is everywhere in our life. You see Google using it if you're on Gmail, filling in your email as you start to type something. It knows what you're going to type next. You see Google has integrated into its search algorithm to try to get better responses for people. AI is everywhere. What I think the wake-up call was is that when ChatGPT popped, and it's not a panacea, and there are lots of issues that need to be discussed with privacy, with client, you know, with the client information, you know, it is a co-pilot. It is something that is giving us information that in certain arenas is incredibly valuable and almost seems like magic. When you have an email from a client that's having issues and you can ask for a draft response and it's giving you the language that you and I should have the time to sort of say, I'm so sorry for your concern, and layer it with nuances that we may just not get to, it is breaking things down and giving answers in a very thorough way. Now, understand, like anything else, data in, data out. And so that if you are looking to put original content on your website, there's a good chance that it may be plagiarized. There's a good chance that this information is not vetted because it is crowdsourcing it. And if it doesn't have an answer, it may make something up, as we saw with somebody who used ChatGPT and turned something into a court with fictitious citations. So it is, imagine it's a law clerk doing research for you in instantaneous time. Would you turn something in from a non-practicing law clerk who's just going to throw that to the court? Of course not. But it is giving you things that will very, very quickly be changing how we do business. So much so that the law clerk junior associate, I think, is in peril in the next few years because this stuff is getting so good so fast. Let me break it down for you. ChatGPT itself started off with an older universe of information that was even pre-COVID, just to give you an idea. The versions have always been ahead of the free version, but if you need something where plagiarism is not an issue, let's say an employee manual, so that you have an administrative assistant and you say, you know what, I need to have a set of rules for them, it can produce things unbelievably well. Now you go through it, decide you agree with it or not agree with it, but it's crowdsourcing unbelievable information that is useful. Ideas, if you wanted to put, what should my next 10 podcasts be? Talk about, say, hey, what are the 10 most interesting concepts about AI, and you want your next 10 podcasts to be on it? This could do an incredible job of crowdsourcing that information, putting it together and presenting it. What it doesn't have is an exclusive or vetted library of information. And that is where we are seeing private companies basically taking it upon themselves to create those databases. So there was just breaking news in the legal space that EvenUp, which creates demands for personal injury firms, they just raised $50 million because they are basically creating a library of vetted information of demands and then using AI to apply it to the facts of the cases that are presented to them. By using an enclosed, by using a vetted group library, so to speak, it is able to produce documents much closer to ready for prime time than if you went to OpenAI. AI itself or ChatGPT can give you, I'm sure, a very good demand, but it is riskier because it is unclear where it's pulling the information from. And so,
the idea there would be sort of that the user would, in addition to their OpenAI app or platform, if you will, would be able to subscribe to or purchase access to this embedded, specialized database that then could be used to refine or produce a better product.
Correct. So instead of just not knowing what you're getting and not knowing where it's coming from, if the AI has a limited and vetted group of information to choose from, you're going to get better data in, data out. It's going to be better. So for example, I'm sure you're familiar with our local friends at Fastcase, right? They just got rolled up into a play with a British group because there's a group that wants to apply AI against case law. And if they have a protected library that they know works, then the answers you get out are going to work versus, as you know, there are lawyers that are probably too cheap to use any legal research and do it through Google. Sure. That is not necessarily as, it's definitely not as, expert an answer. So that as the data is curated and AI is applied against it, that is where the magic happens. It's already amazing what we're seeing through ChatGPT. Unbelievable. And if you want an easier way to view it, the Edge browser rather than Chrome, because Microsoft was the early investor in ChatGPT, that the Edge browser allows it. And this is one where Microsoft is back in vogue in that they're going to integrate it with Word. And it is going to be one of those things where writer block is a thing of the past. I hope my kids still actually do homework and they don't just use ChatGPT. But there is incredible potential. But this is no different than, and this may have been your kids' age, when Wikipedia came out and professors were like, don't just cut and paste Wikipedia into your homework. It's similar. The world can right now detect ChatGPT content, and the web can. This is not where you're just going to go to ChatGPT and cut and paste information and build out a killer website. You are going to need to be thoughtful in what you're doing in order to differentiate yourself from the rest of the market.
Support for today's episode comes from Ruby, the number one client communication solution for growing legal practices. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Ruby creates exceptional experiences for your callers and website visitors. They take messages, screen and transfer callers, schedule appointments, perform new client intake, confirm details with outbound calls, and can answer in English and Spanish, and a whole lot more. Just like an in-house receptionist, only better, because they turn every ring into a relationship. Ruby can work full-time, part-time, or as a backup, and you can change your instructions anytime with their top-rated mobile app and online dashboard. Plus, Ruby integrates with tools such as Clio, Lexaclara, MyCase, and Rocket Matter. It all adds up to more opportunities and more time saved. In fact, 90% of legal professionals who use Ruby capture more billable hours than the national average, with many recording double or more. That's 5 or more billable hours per day. To experience the Ruby difference for yourself, visit get.ruby.com/ELE. That's get.ruby.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur, for up to $150 off your first month. Imagine you, powered by Ruby. As a law firm owner, you take responsibility for driving more revenue for your firm. but how much of that revenue ends up as bottom line profit? Ryan Kimmler, the net profit CFO, helps law firms drive more top line revenue to bottom line profit. His two game-changing tools are the scorecard, so you can actually know what your numbers are and can make informed decisions, and the action plan, so you know how to get your numbers where you want them to be and drive more net profit. To learn more about Ryan, check out episode 306 of The Law Entrepreneur, and you can get a free profit acceleration call by going to go.oncehub, that's O-N-C-E-H-U-B, go.oncehub.com/profit. I will also tell you, just as an aside, I am a client of Ryan's. I've been working with him for the past 6 months. Frankly, ever since he did that episode with me, I signed on with him to be a client. And I've been thrilled with the kind of information and insight he's been able to give me. So do yourself a favor, you know, get that free call and check out Ryan Kimmler at netprofit.com. But in terms of being able to leverage this tool to reduce costs and improve quality, sounds like a no-brainer.
Absolutely. I don't think it's the place to originate content from at the moment. It's changing fast. What I like it more is for improving content, for ideas. But right now, it is use ChatGPT for search marketing at your peril, particularly if you're in a situation where, how do I put this? You know, Google doesn't own ChatGPT. And I think they told me personally that they're not going to use a detector. Like many things at Google, I don't always believe them. Bard is their product. And the idea that if you embrace a competitor's, not only is it not great content that'll likely get you filtered out by the EAT and other high quality content updates, but I truly believe Google doesn't want this to win. It's a threat to their business model, and that they are not going to support that for anybody who's trying to use it for search. So use it to create your blog topics, use it to create outlines, use it for things that are not SEO friendly, for your internal, you know, rules and regulations, all God bless. But to me, it is a plus factor, but that you got to be really, really careful about allowing, you know, this to be something that infects your website if you're playing the SEO.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you, the thing that really perked up my ears was if you were developing a policy and procedures manual, which we all freely admit is an important element of building your business and growing your firm, and you know, having systems in place that control its operations, it's always something that gets pushed off onto the back burner for most solo and small firm. If I had a way of generating a straw man version of that, based on having some conversations with the AI-based tool, such as ChatGPT, I'd jump on that immediately and then refine it as needed. But that never occurred to me.
Right. And look, think about it. If you go to an employment lawyer, they're just, I hope they're not creating your manual from scratch, that there's something that's bulletproof.
Right.
So that is, you know, these are the areas where you're seeing stuff, and its ability to summarize documents and pages of what's already written, it is unbelievable. The power is really, to ignore this long term will be at your peril. Short term, it is evolving, and obviously it's not like the train is just leaving the station, but this is going to be something where it's going to be incorporated into all of our work and all of our lives in short order.
I will tell you that one of the things that caught my eye this last week, and which really encouraged me that we were going to have this conversation, was I got a notice from an associate that used to do business with the podcast, who's with another group at the moment. tipped me off on the announcement that they're going to have funding a competition to develop AI-based products for the legal space. And I went, okay, well, that's kind of interesting. But when they told me that the prize was $1 million, that got my attention. So, you know, I was unaware of the deal with Askcase. But if you follow the money, you know, we're starting to throw around some big numbers here. So it's got to be important for some folks. What do you have a sense or a vision to what type of additional products based on this we might be seeing in the legal space?
Well, I think there a lot of them are there at their infancy. We're seeing it for, I mean, we're going to see it for case search, right? That's a no-brainer.
Right.
We're going to see it for demand generation.
Demand letters, sure.
We're going to see it, like, these are things that aren't legal specific, but it's going to be integrated into Microsoft Word. So it's going to give you, you know, a proposed answer. That's the stuff that I see so powerful. When you get emails and it's giving you a proposed answer to that email, not just like the sentence completion from Google, but it's actually giving you a potential answer. Again, it is a sidekick. If you go and you do this, you're going to have egg on your face. Hopefully not in front of a judge getting disbarred, but it's going to be bad. You're going to lose clients. That said, if it allows you to have something and you read something and vet it and it makes, and it is good, and you don't need to do original, you know, you don't have to type it from scratch originally, it is going to be a tool that will be fully integrated into your life. You know, to me, this is similar to when the web first came out and people were like, I was at US Law way back in the day in the late 90s, and lawyers were like, well, why would I ever want to have a presence on the web? The cost to get a lawyer to advertise on our directory at US Law was more than what we could make from the lawyer, you know, paying us to advertise. It was upside down. Right. So, you know, this is one of these moments where the next generation is not going to have, you know, a law clerk giving them and, you know, giving them a draft. It will be AI generated. All of that said, I think there's some real issues we have coming, which is the way that we learn and the way that we get talent. If this is knocking out, again, this is me hypothesizing, law clerks first and second year lawyers, and that we are sitting there with more senior lawyers managing AI. The question is, how are we going to get the next generation of talent? Because that's how people cut their teeth and learn. I'm sure there will be other ways, but it is certainly disconcerting when you see that the person you have doing legal research and giving you sort of a memo on law may be supplanted in the very near future with AI.
Yeah. A couple of thoughts come to mind in terms of where this might be going. I mean, I'm kind of thinking when you have somebody like Microsoft incorporating this into their product line, kind of reminds me of when Spellcheck and GrammarCheck got incorporated into word processing. You know, in its infancy, it was, you know, kludgy and had a lot of opportunity for errors. But I don't know, me now personally, I rely 1,000% on that capability to improve my writing. And so if I'm going to have AI-based responses available to me working inside my office products or similarly positioned applications, I can see that just literally exploding.
Now, look, as a guy who is dyslexic, the fact that spell check came in during my lifetime got me through college and into law school. Like, I would not be here but for spell check. In fact, I remember being a professor calling me into his office, one of my favorite guys, when I had to write in a blue book without spell check. And he was like, what the hell is this? you know, so it is something, you know, I could tell you for, you know, I have kids who are school age right now, and they, you know, I still love the BlackBerry and wish that that was out. And I love the keyboard and hate the keyboard they don't type anything. It is all voice search. The way they approach everything is different, and that they are asking questions. They are dictating information. It is a different interface with technology. And that's what they, you know, I am used to typing something in and getting a response. Theirs is 90-10 the other way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. All voice-driven, all textual-based. Nobody's emailing. They're not emailing. I'm finding, and that's not just young folks. That's my client base now. I've had to really kind of revamp some of my communication workflows because I wasn't getting responses to email. So I'm like, how can the client not respond to an email? Like, oh yeah, I never look at my email. Want to reach me, text me. So, I mean, all that's true, I think, these days. You know, I think some of the early media reports and stories really focused, I think, on the potential plagiarism issue or...
And that's real. That's real.
Certainly.
And there are, you know, if you put it is an also sort of, if you're putting personal client information, you know, client information in there, there are real issues. This is not to say this is a panacea without issues and that people are going to screw it up. They're going to get in trouble and there's going to be lots of stuff. That said, I think I may have even been at one of these things with you. It was a DC bar event when the founder of ABBA was doing a roadshow.
Oh, yeah. Yep. I remember that.
And I'm there, and people are like screaming at him, you can't do this. Lawyers can't give advice online and answer questions. And you know what? There was a lot of stuff people were right about, but they figured it out. And, you know, they put, over the years, ABBA pushed the envelope probably further than they should have on some areas dealing with these. But you know what? Arizona and Utah are now doing it. So it's like, you know, history's written by the victor. If Uber had waited for permission to compete with people who had paid $1.3 million for a hack license, you know, for a medallion, they would, you know, we wouldn't have Uber today. You know, some of this stuff is done by pushing the envelope. That said, you don't want to be held holding the bag and have your client information out there, or you don't want to be, you know, you don't want plagiarism to come down, and you don't want nonsensical case law being submitted to a courtroom. But you know, you can be a naysayer. This stuff is coming and it is not stopping anytime soon.
Well, you've convinced me for sure. I need to take a very hard look at this and do so sooner rather than later. And I'm going to suggest, Seth, that let's get together again in a couple, 3 months, because that's the pace at which this thing is changing, right? And we may have a whole lot more to talk about, you know, a quarter of a year from now.
I am pained. I'm a tale of two cities. I'm watching what's going on at my digital marketing agency with Gen Zers. And we're both organizations are EOS, if you're familiar with that program. So we have rocks. Every department has to have 2 beta tests live in the next couple of weeks. That's the end of our quarter, for making sure that AI is integrated into what we're doing. Law firm, unless I go and dictate what needs to be done, it's not happening. And well, so it's...
You took the words right out of my mouth, because we as attorneys are often, our first response is, nah, I can't do that. We can't do that. When it should really be, take more of, you know, your marketing perspective, let's find out how we can do that.
Absolutely. You know, we are going to basically, and again, some of this stuff, I think for the lawyers will come in third-party tools, because I think that gives, that bulletproofs you to a certain extent. And I see this in other areas. I'll give you sort of an analogy. You want a photo for your website. You can go to Google and grab free photos, but there's no guarantee. And there are guys, and I know this for a fact, who stick photos in the free Google area with fine print saying you need to disclose that it's from this source. And when you don't, they sue you. I've seen clients and clients itself who've gotten it hasn't seen in a while, these 80 to 200 page lawsuits, federal lawsuits threatening you and shaking you down.
I didn't get I didn't get a lawsuit, but I got a cease and desist letter.
Well, cease and desist is one thing.
Under that exact circumstance.
Right. And so
a photo that turned out not to be free.
Exactly. And so what I started doing was paying for photos. I all photos had to have either through a subscription or a per photo. I want somebody to yell at, to sue if I get sued. And so that's what these guys are doing, is they're bulletproofing you from that. And for a fee, somebody is taking this on to make sure that you are protected. And like most things that are free or nominal, it's open source. Anything can be there. And I, like many things, we need people to help protect us from us.
Well, Seth, this has been a delight. I really do appreciate having the opportunity to reconnect with you. Tell our audience, what's the best way they can reach out to you, either at Blue Shark or Price Benowitz? And let's keep this conversation going.
Absolutely. I'm on all the socials. You know, friend me on Facebook and Facebook chat. My cell, I give it to everybody. Nobody ever calls me or texts me, but it's 347-661-9999. But follow me on socials, and we're at Blue Shark Digital or Price Benowitz. And, you know, love being here. Thank you so much. And let's breakfast at Silver in the coming weeks.
You got it, my friend. We'll have all that information in our show notes. And I want to thank you again for taking the time to be with us today on The Law Entrepreneur.
Thanks so much.
Well, there you have it, boys and girls, another episode of The Law Entrepreneur. I want to thank our sponsors for this episode, our good friends at Ruby. I can't say enough about Ruby. As you know, they've been my virtual receptionist for years now. Couldn't be happier with them. And I really urge all of you, if you need a virtual receptionist, that you give Ruby a chance. Also, Net Profit CFO, as I've mentioned before, Ryan Kimler was a guest on the program some time ago. I liked what he had to say so much, I became a client. And then after I became a client, he became a sponsor. So very happy about that arrangement. If you want to take your understanding of your financials in your law firm to that next step beyond just what your bookkeeper gives you back, give Ryan a call at Net Profit CFO. I don't think you'll be disappointed. If you enjoyed this podcast, do me the great favor of leaving a positive rating and review wherever you listen to your podcast. It really helps with the opportunity for us to get in front of other people. And until next week, I wish you all the best, and we'll see you again here on Law Entrepreneur.